since we are all, no doubt, concerned about such division in our country, with so much anger and hatred being expressed in news outlets. Yes, time and time again, what do we see on the news? Shootings and people jumping to conclusions, so many things that we could mention. So I thought it would be fitting this morning for us to study from Judges chapter 8, a soft answer from a mighty man of valor. And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville as we're studying what? God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And then as we assemble to worship God, we're striving to do so with the proper attitude in spirit, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, thus in truth. And you would be very much welcome to join in with us. Now, something else we want to mention, we're always glad to answer Bible questions that you have. And of course, we're always ready to study the Bible with anyone at your convenience, of course. And your comments, positive or negative, are appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Let's get into our study this morning, as we're going to be looking at Gideon, who was chosen by God to be a judge. In other words, he was a deliverer of the children of Israel, and they were under the suppression of the Midianites, as you go to Judges chapter 6, 12 through 16. And we all should remember how Gideon's army was reduced from 32,000 down to 300 men. Of course, this was showing that it was not the Israelites, but it was God who delivered them from the Midianites. Judges chapter 7, verses 2 through 7. And we note in verse 12 of chapter 7, the Midianites were as the sand by the seaside for multitude. So they were in the thousands. And Gideon's army of 300 men, yes, they were victorious. Why? Because they obeyed God, and he was with them. Judges 7, 16 through 23. Now, the tribe of Ephraim was not a part of this effort, but they were asked to go down again against the fleeing Midianites under Bethbara and Jordan, Judges 7, 24. And notice verse 25. They took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. And they slew Oreb upon the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. And so as we come to our text this morning, Judges chapter 8, notice, and the men of Ephraim said unto him, that would be Gideon, why hast thou served us thus, that thou calledst not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. Notice that. And here's Gideon's reply. He said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of the Midian of Midian, Oreb and Zeeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? And then notice, their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. Yes, Gideon, a mighty man of valor, having defeated the Midianites, of course, with God's being with them and certainly cutting them down to 300. But nonetheless, he was a great leader, a man of valor. He has a soft answer for the Ephraim folks who are complaining here and chiding strongly with him. Notice Gideon's answer was soft. What have I done in comparison of you? He didn't, return an angry statement to the angry men of Ephraim, verse 2 there. Oh, no. And we know he had been in a tiring chase. Gideon could have easily responded in a harsh manner, as so many would have. But no, sir. His answer was soft. In Proverbs 14:29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. To hold the tongue is difficult, isn't it? I think we would all agree with that. But as Christians, we must strive not to let our anger unbridle the tongue. In James 1:26, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. I don't want to have vain religion, do you? Of course not. So we need to bridle our tongue. And it is difficult, yes, but we have to work at it. In Ephesians 4:26, notice, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Well, there are times where we are going to be angry, but the point is not to sin. Jesus had righteous indignation, Mark 3:5. So there are times where we need to have righteous indignation too, but we do not want to sin. And certainly let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Husbands and wives, get things settled before you turn in for the night. Don't go to bed angry at each other. Get that resolved. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. That's certainly true, isn't it? Well, of course it is. Proverbs 25:15. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. This is wisdom. Of course it is. It's God's wisdom through the inspired writer Solomon. You know, by holding the tongue, we can have an opportunity to give a soft answer in reply to grievous words also, just like Gideon. In James 1:19, we certainly need to emphasize this verse. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Instead of just jumping right in before we have all the facts, as so many are doing, and we see this just about on a daily basis, do we not? Take time to see what's going on before we make a harsh judgment, before we bite somebody's head off. Slow to wrath. This is what Christians are to do. And certainly the folks in our society need to turn to God's word and learn how to control their anger. And of course, obey the gospel, first of all, and become a new creature in Christ. And then those old things are going to start dissipating. Yes, as we grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this is badly needed today. Of course it is. But notice also Gideon's answer was soothing, verse 3. As he pointed out what they had done, these men of Ephraim, they had captured these two princes, Oreb and Zeeb. And Gideon said, "And what was I able to do in comparison of you?" And that had a great effect on these men, didn't it? Because you see, then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. So I recall a situation when I was in the military where I was just as angry as I could be and ready to fight. He was an enlisted man over me, higher rank, and I'd had a pair of boondockers, or kind of a half shoe, half boot in the Navy, we called them, and mine were taken, and I didn't like it. And so I called him out. Well, he marched us all out. He and I returned to the barracks, and he got up in the dipsty dumpster trying to find my boots. And I thought, how in the world can I fight this fella? So it was like taking the sting of an insect bite out. My anger was abated, and he and I became good friends. You know, that's a fond memory. And I'm thankful he responded the way he did. I certainly am, rather than me tearing into him and getting in trouble and possibly hurting one another. Wasn't that a good situation? Of course it was. Proverbs 10:12, "Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins." Boy, the whole world needs to pay attention to the Word of God. Of course they do, because man is created in the image of God, and God has instructed us in how to live the best life possible. Submit to His will, become a child of God, and grow as a Christian, and treat others like we want to be treated. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if there would be a great revival in our country? Get back to the Bible. Learn the truth. It's hard to be angry at someone who does good things to us, though, isn't it? As I certainly learned back then, years ago. Well, notice Abigail. Here's another example. She was a woman of good understanding, and her soothing words kept David from shedding the blood of her husband Nabal and his house. This is 1 Samuel 25:23-31. Well, Nabal was a very evil man, but he had a good wife. Abigail was a woman of good understanding, and her words were soothing as she prevented David from shedding the blood of her husband. Notice verses 32 and 33 of 1 Samuel 25. "And David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which hath kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with my own hand." You'll want to study what Abigail had to say to David there in 1 Samuel 25. This is what we're talking about. A soft answer, a soothing answer, as Gideon, as we're studying in Judges chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. We have other examples, of course, in God's Word where soothing words turn back the anger of others. Well, notice in the New Testament now, and this again is the situation where there are a number of people angry this time. Well, this is in Acts 19:35-41. And to kind of set the stage, of course, This is where Paul was in Ephesus, and you'll see here the people there were idolaters, and they got all upset concerning the temple Diana. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoned with his hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." You see, this is an idol god. Doesn't even exist. But they were in such an uproar, they just start crying out the same thing for the space of 2 hours. And we come to verse 35. This is where I wanted us to really focus in on. "And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, 'Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter?'" You see how superstitious these people were, and just outright idolaters. Greek mythology here. "Seeing then," the town clerk goes on to say, "seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly. For ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open. There are deputies, let them plead one another. But if you inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse." And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. In other words, he diffused a very volatile situation. And here is a riot ready to burst forth, and he just let the air right out of the balloon, you might say, and dismissed them. Well, this is pretty good advice from a non-believer. He's not even a Christian. But yet he knew that this uproar was going to get out of hand. Oh, it was already out of hand for several hours, but he knew that it would become even worse. And he did the right thing to dismiss them. But he made some good points, didn't he? The law is open. There are deputies. Let them plead one another. Certainly you need to do this in a lawful manner, not just all in an uproar, as we see so many doing today, do we not? Rioting, thinking that's the way to get their point across. No, it's not. And we all should know that. This is the emphasis we're putting here on staying with God's word as Christians, and learn from Gideon's example and from the other examples of Abigail and now this non-believer, the town clerk. And something else to look at would be, as Jacob told his sons what gifts to take to their brother Joseph. He said to take a little honey in Genesis 43:11. Take a little honey. That's going to sweeten things, isn't it? Well, of course, Jesus tells us in Mark 9:50, salt is good, but if the salt hath lost his saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Well, again, that's not honey, but it really is saying the same thing, isn't it? Have salt in yourself. In other words, take a little honey. Be the salt of the earth, as Jesus pointed out in the Sermon on the Mount. Yes. We've got to be that which preserves. Salt is a good preserver. And it seasons food, doesn't it? Has a number of usages. And if we're to be the salt of the earth, we need to be more like Jesus and make a positive influence in this world and certainly in our own country. As Jesus said in Matthew 7:12, a verse we all should know, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Let's take a little honey when we go and meet with others and when we're working with others and understand the golden rule and practice it. Yes, we can learn so much from our study of Gideon in Judges chapter 8, where he had a soft answer. Yes, a soothing answer. And anger was abated. And we certainly need more of that today. Again, as we started out the program, are we not all concerned about the anger going on? And so many cities have riots. What is that solving? It's making things worse, is it not? So again, when someone says something that makes us mad or hurts us, what should we do? Let them have it? Or do as Gideon? A soft answer from a mighty man of valor. Jesus said we're to love our enemies, bless them, do good unto them, and to pray for them, Matthew 5:44. Are we doing that? We need to love their soul. Now their actions, we're not to love the actions of those who are sinning against God. God hates sin, we're to hate sin as well. But God doesn't hate the person. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have to love the world too, if we're followers of Christ. Now let's go to Romans chapter 12. We need to go to this passage in our study. Paul's inspired letter to the Church of Christ at Rome includes God's way for us to overcome evil. Beginning in verse 17, going through verse 21 of Romans 12. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's how we're to do it. We're not to get back at someone. Revenge is not going to ever be right. Be not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. That's how we're to do it. You know, protesting is not seen in God's word as his people are to be involved in this. Are we seeing an example of that? No, but what we need to do, what we need to be doing, that is proclaiming the truth. Yes, we can speak out against error, not saying that's not to be protested, but as far as joining in and, you know, all this that's going on in society today, of protesting, you know, injustices. There are always going to be injustices. But we need to realize the greatest injustice of all was putting to death Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who had no sin. That's the greatest injustice. And yet God is willing to forgive us all, even though we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Our Lord and Savior died that we might be reconciled to God. And thus, when we have obeyed the gospel, we need to be trying to get people to reconcile with God as well. We're in need of being committed unto the word of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5:19. So, are we following the example of Christ? In John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. This is the trademark of Christians. This is how we're to be known. And let's again realize the importance of getting out the truth. The Bible has the answers to all things that pertain unto life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3. So let's be sure we're giving people opportunities to learn the will of God, and thus how much better our society is going to be as we have a great revival in this country. We certainly would love to see that, would we not? Of course we would. The Lord's invitation is given to all those who would obey the sweet voice of the Savior. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He will take away that burden of sin as we submit to the gospel of Christ. What must we do? We have to first hear the truth. Romans 10:17. That's how our faith comes. Now, of course, we're to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who died for our sins on the cruel cross of Calvary, but was, yes, buried, but he arose on the third day, the Lord's day, and is now reigning in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. And thus he is the head of the body, his own body, the church of Christ. And we need to be a part of that body, that spiritual body, by believing Jesus is the Christ. Now we're ready to repent, making a change of wills, and now we're going to do his will. Luke 13:3-5. Having repented, now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. We're not there yet. Romans 10:9-10. Once we state, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, now we're ready to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Notice Romans 6:3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Yes, we're coming up out of that watery grave, a new person. The old sinful person is left behind because the blood of Christ has washed away our sins. And we want to certainly begin to grow as the Lord adds us to his body, the true church, Acts 2:47. We're certainly not joining a church, but now we're going to live faithfully. Even if it means our death, we'll have the victory. We stand ready to assist you, and thank you so much for listening today.